You may be seated. So as we begin this new series on Grow, it's important to remember the reason why we are to keep growing closer to Jesus in every season of life. You should have got your green bracelet on your way in today. If you didn't, be sure and pick that up on your way out. These are friendly reminders, but I put mine, wear it in order, because everything has to start with love. Everything. Because you can't serve unless you're loving. You can't give unless you're loving. You can't grow unless you're loving. So that is the basis of all of our values here at the church. It is about the love of God. And as we are realizing that we can never stop growing, because no matter of our physical age, you know, I've known people who got saved later in life, and, you know, they may be in their 60s, but they're spiritually, they're still a toddler. But then, just because you may have got saved a long time ago doesn't mean you haven't been watering and nurturing that plant either. And whether you're, and someone can't be looked down on because of their age. You know, we always want our kids to do better than us. And then when I look at Kenton, who is my youngest, I believe he surpassed me in so many areas. And I'm thankful for that, especially when it comes to playing the piano and playing the guitar and playing the bass. I can't do those things. But that doesn't mean I quit just because I've reached a certain age. We have to keep growing, and we have to be aware of where we have planted ourselves. And the question we need to ask ourselves, is it providing what you need to grow in the fullness of God, or is it limiting you? Let's look at this first illustration here. Ed Hartsock put this on Facebook this week, and it's like, okay, perfect, goes along with the message. A shark in a fish tank grows to only 8 inches. But in the ocean, it will grow to 8 feet or more. The shark will never outgrow its environment. And the same is true about you. Many times we're around small thinking people, so we don't grow. Change our environment and watch your growth. And then the next slide. You can't really count the rings of a tree until you cut it down. So it stops growing. But this shows the history of this tree and where it grew out, and how the wide bands show when it was very, very wet and a lot of growth there. There was a dry season that there was a very little ring. It even had a scar from where there was a forest fire. But that still showed the seasons of its life. All of us have different seasons. There'll be dry times. There'll be times of flourishing. There'll be fires. But it didn't stop growing. It still grew even past that. And it didn't make it a weaker tree because of that scar. But it was there as a reminder of what happened in his life. And if you ever read the instructions when you buy an apple or a pear tree, what does it say? Make the proper hole. Make it big enough to plant, so that you can get a lot of water and extra fertilizer and stuff around it. But don't expect fruit from it for at least 2 to 3 years. And why is that? Because you got to have a root before you get the fruit. It has to be rooted. It has to be grounded. And that can only take place by staying in that spot and growing. If I would every year pull the tree up and move it, what would happen to that tree? It'd eventually die. And that's why it's important that we plant ourselves, not to be, I'm planted and I shall not be moved, but to plant ourselves so that we can become grounded, and that grounding has to be in God's Word. Paul was writing to Timothy to encourage him to be worthy to be a worthy servant of Christ, verse 6a. And in fact, it said it was his duty. And yes, I said duty. For all those junior high guys like me, okay? But duty is defined by Webster as the conduct due to parents and superiors. In other words, respect. It's the obligatory task, the conduct, the service, or functions that arise from one's position. So it's our responsibility. There is a clear call for the church to live out in tangible ways the ethical implications of this gospel. This week, we are going to study the disciplines that we need in order to fulfill the duty and grow in Christ. So if you look at chapter 4, verse 6, he says, "You are to be one who is fed by the message of faith and the true teaching you have followed." So what does it mean to be fed or nourished here? Well, we believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. Amen? Okay, that's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, one of the three 16s that we should all be familiar with. Also, the faith or trust that we exhibit here is that we have anchored our hope in the living God. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Our hope is not put in people. It's not put in a church building or a denomination. It's put in God. And that good and true teachings that we are to follow are the importance of learning from other people's examples. That's what the Bible is. It's not perfect people giving us these high, lofty standards that we have to live by. No, it's people who have struggled and have grown through those struggles. So to think that once you become a Christian, nothing bad is going to happen, sorry. But the thing that we do have is that God is on our side. God is with us every step of the way. He's the one that will help us to grow. We're also putting into practice those things we have learned. Now, too many times we think, I can do it. How many of you always read the instructions before you begin putting something together? Really? Tina and I went this week to, rebuilding my shed, or the lean-to part of my shed. And all the way over, she goes, "Okay, do you have the plans?" "We'll just buy wood. That's all I need." And then we get over there at Menards, and we're going, "Okay, I need this type of wood, you know, these 2x6s and these 2x4s, and I have to have these nail plates, and I have to have..." And so we end up with this long list. But it was things I had, and I would not have known what to do had I not built something with my father before. I was pulling from my experience. I was able to put in practice those things that I've learned. And yes, I have an architect for a son, so that helps too. Because I could gain from his insight. But one of the things that we run into is, in our society today, there's too many that are entitled. We become self-centered in our focus, when in reality, we need to have some common courtesy. You know, Tina gave testimony before of how she was frustrated with her kids and didn't know why, and she was expecting them to know these things that they should be doing, but it was because they weren't taught. Things like holding a door for someone else, or if someone's coming out while the same time you're coming in, you let them come through first. Those are things we've learned and have been practiced. But if no one's taught them those things, how can we expect someone else to have that behavior? Common courtesy is not part of our human nature. We're selfish, folks, by nature. But God wants to change us, and that can only happen when we nourish ourselves with His Word in our lives. So how are we to be nourished? Nourishment is, in this context, can be defined as the daily study of Scriptures with time for reflection and meditation. We had a teaching not too long ago that talked about soap. And that just like you need soap in the shower to get clean, soap in your spiritual life is what helps you to know what the Scripture says, and you observe what it has, and you apply it. And all those things are necessary for us to grow. But what happens is we live in a fast food society. And we expect to be fully nourished by coming in and putting in 10 minutes at church, giving a message, chewing on a little bit, and then going. Treating it like a time of going through the drive-thru at McDonald's or Jack in the Box, if everybody's ever been to Jack in the Box. But the problem is, that food is not real good nourishment for you. In fact, there was a guy who did a video series called Supersized, and he went through and lived on nothing but McDonald's. Can you imagine? And he gained like 40 pounds. But just because you have the proper size doesn't mean you're healthy. As we look at those things in our lives, are we tasting and seeing that the Lord is good? Are we consuming the Word of God as our daily food that is so necessary for us to grow? And then Paul goes on to write to Timothy to tell him, don't waste your time on the godless stuff. In other words, arguing about just the piddly stuff. You know, that was one of the things that hurt my heart growing up, because there was, in our church, it was always about us and bringing in the people to us. And we were so self-centered that we weren't reaching out to the community. And then people were, well, we can't associate with them because they do this. You know, I don't drink, smoke, or chew, and I don't run with folks that do. That isn't what Jesus would be saying. And if you look at in the life of Jesus, even before his first miracle, while he was still a child, Jesus was showing us what we should be doing. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 49. He'd run away, or not run away, he had stayed at the temple, and mom and dad left because he thought he was with the rest of the family. And they came back looking for him, and they found Jesus in the temple talking with the scribes. And when Mary talked to him, she said, we've been looking everywhere for you. And he said, did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? All right. How many of you are a child of the King? All right. That means he's your Father, right? So Jesus was saying we're supposed to be about, or he was about his Father's business. So if it's good enough for Jesus, what about you? In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, it says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Folks, Jesus is coming back soon. And there's a lot of folks that don't know that yet. And we're the ones supposed to be giving them the message. But we can talk all we want. It's how we're living that they'll realize that we're speaking the truth. Our actions speak louder than words. And, you know, here we're, if you look back in Mark chapter 8, verses 11 and 12, here were the Pharisees, the religious leaders who were coming in to argue with Jesus rather than allowing him to proclaim the message. It says, when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had arrived, they came and started to argue with him, testing him. They demanded that he show them a miraculous sign from heaven to prove his authority. When he heard this, he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why do these people keep demanding a miraculous sign? I tell you the truth, I will not give this generation any such sign. Prove it, prove it, prove it. No, he's saying no, don't prove it. Live it out. See who I am. You know, there are those who are wanting to argue just for the sake of arguing. And I'm telling you, folks, don't waste your breath. We have to understand that the devil is using this to waste our time. If we are living our lives on purpose to be the child of God that we are called to be, then our actions are speaking a lot louder than words. Secondly, he tells Timothy, he said, spend your time and energy in training yourself for spiritual fitness. Physical exercise has some value, but spiritual exercise is much more important, for it promises a reward both in this life and the next. Remember, folks, your time and energy are both precious commodities. Once the time is gone, you can't get it back. And we all know we wish we had some more energy. But how are we focusing those things that we have? First of all, we need to make time with God a priority. Because you set your schedule by what you deem as most important. Recently, Tina was talking with somebody and they were saying, well, I just love my job because I get to set my own schedule and do whatever I want. And then Tina said, well, I haven't seen you in church lately. Oh, I'm just so busy because Sunday's my busiest day. And she said, but I thought you said you set your own schedule. You know, it wasn't too long ago that I remember that businesses were closed on Sunday in my time. And it was a time where Sunday was a holy day. We can't go back and live in those times, but what we can do is make a priority. John Acuff just started a new, it's called September January, and it's called about a 30-day goal-making process. And people do everything for weight loss to writing books to just time management. And his big thing was exactly this. We set our priorities of what we want, of what we want to do. We are the ones that set our schedule. Oh, but I've got kids. I've got... Wait. We're still the one who sets the schedule. And if you look back in the Old Testament, you saw where Abraham and David and Daniel all got up early in the morning to spend time with God. They made it a priority. Even Jesus did that in the New Testament, slipping away from his group, from his posse, to spend time with God. And then if you look back in church history, there's both John Wesley and Charles Wesley, and then Spurgeon and E.M. Bounds. There's writings from all of them quoting that they would spend 3 to 4 hours praying and reading and studying God's Word before they did anything for the rest of the day. In fact, Jonathan wrote that if he had a lot more to do that day, he spent a lot more time in prayer. You know, we've done a lot for physical exercise and pointing out the benefits of that. Back in 2009, I was part of the Henry County's biggest thriver, which was like the biggest loser, but they had to make a positive spin on it, so that's what they called it. And, you know, for 3 months, I tracked everything. My exercise, the amount of sleep, the food I ate, and I lost weight and was feeling better. And what I was doing, though, so as not to take time away from my family, I was at the Y when it opened at 5 o'clock. And I set that regimen. But the problem is, I lost that priority because I only knew I only had to do it for 3 months. And sadly, I found all that weight I lost. And then some. And I wasn't the only one, because the guy who won the contest also did. And I've watched on television that even the people that have done The Biggest Loser have done that. And why is that? Because their priorities went off. It's just for this little season. Well, we don't have just a small season of growth in our Christian walk, in our Christian life. It's from that first dedication when we gave our heart to the Lord, and we're supposed to continue to grow from there. So that season, that priority, the growth season, is until we stand before Jesus. So we have to make our time with God a priority. C.T. Studd wrote a poem, and a lot of times read at funerals. It says, "Only one life 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." And we can't put our growth off on other people. We have to practice those disciplines ourselves. It would be like when Katie was our youth director here, and people coming up and saying, "Well, you didn't do this, and you didn't." No, 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 no. I know what she's planted. I've seen the fruits of what she's planted and invested in. And we have too. Because those kids that were in her youth group are now up here in ministry. Because she taught them the importance of spending time with God. And I thank you for that, Katie. Because those kids could have easily just, you know, they grew up in church. And there's too many that have grown up in church that the reason they say they don't grow is because mom or dad didn't do. Sorry, folks. We can't put it off on other people. Every time you come into this door, it's like coming to an all-you-can-eat banquet, because, yeah, that we're providing the main meal here, but what are you bringing to the table? And you can only bring something if you've been talking to the master chef, spending time with our Creator. I love worship time. And hearing the voices around me sing. But if we don't spend time with Him, a lot of times we just remain silent because I'm not in the mood to sing. Folks, come in. As we heard in that song that they led today, Spirit, you're here to move. And we want to feel that. Thirdly, Paul writes, "This is true and everyone should accept it. We work hard and strive in order that people will believe the truth." There's a quote from Gary Demarest that said, if one knows one's calling, one's gospel, one's self, one's mission, all of life and ministry can be lived with love, joy, and peace. All of us are responsible to go into all the world and preach the gospel and to make disciples. All means all, and that's all means. We don't get to pick and choose, folks. It's all y'all's responsibility. Here's the thing. There may be some of us that do it as a profession, you know, a missionary or a pastor, or a youth director or a children's director. That may be our position. But I also know there are others who I like to call undercover missionaries. They may be a plumber, but they're a missionary cleverly disguised as a plumber because they have an opportunity to go into someone's house that I wouldn't be able to. I'm married to a teacher. She is cleverly disguised as a teacher, but she's a missionary to that sixth grade class. So whatever our position, we're all missionaries. And we all have to know what the message is. And that's why Paul says we strive to make sure that they see the truth in all that we do. So my question is, how do you live your life the other 10,000 minutes a week? What do you mean 10,000 minutes? Figure it out. There's 10,080 minutes per week. You come into church and you give the church 80 minutes. I see how you worship and how you act here, but how do you live your life out there the rest of the time? You know, we talk about tithing, and it's not just our money. But are you tithing your time to God? Are you giving of yourself, because that's what He wants, folks? He doesn't need the money. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. But what He wants you to do is worship Him in service and in love. And that's what Paul was writing to Timothy about. The way to grow is for you to show His love to those around you in all that you do. So as we wrap this up, when we confess our sins and surrender our lives to Jesus, we made a commitment to do whatever He asked us to do. When we stepped into the baptismal waters, we made a public confession that we had confessed our sins, that we had made Jesus the Lord of our lives, and that we would strive to do our best to follow Him in all areas of our lives. Now, in regards to that, David Pratt wrote, "The primary reason to be baptized is not to become a member of a church. The primary reason to be baptized is to obey Christ, period. Baptism is not primarily a church membership issue. Baptism is primarily an obedience issue. And our obedience is to follow His commands." So then, why is it that we struggle to grow in our faith and to go and share with others about our wonderful Savior? Too often, the answer is that we're not doing our spiritual exercises. So we are soft and flabby rather than strong and courageous. We can improve our spiritual health by daily reading God's Word, surrounding ourselves with positive, encouraging music and teachings, and by living exemplary lives, which will then clearly point others to Jesus. I challenge you to make the same proclamation that the psalmist David did in Psalm 116, verses 17 through 19. I will offer you a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the house of the Lord, in the heart of Jerusalem. I will praise the Lord. My challenge is fulfill your vows. Encourage and hold each other responsible and accountable to their promises. Not just to programs and activities, but to serving one another in love and sharing this message of hope that our world so desperately needs.